Hello, hello everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Bring It All Back Home podcast. My name is Charles. It's a new year, and today's episode is going to be a New Year's episode. It's January 1, 2024. So what's today's episode going to be about? Really, it's going to be about my personal history with the Pentax 6x7 in not complete form, but somewhat condensed, I hope. But really, it's about today's shoot. I was able to take that camera and my all-time favorite lens, or at least the top three all-time favorite lens. Of course, I'm talking about the Takumar 105 SMC. Mine's not the original. Mine's like the second generation. So it's not the one with the yellowing or the radioactive ingredients, but still the old school one, you know? And basically taking this guy with me to the beach for a polar plunge roll, you know? So yeah, New Year's Day, polar plunge, taking out a medium format, 6x7. Yeah, it was inspiring. And I'd like to kind of just take a look at where it all started, hopefully not go too far into the weeds with my 6x7 Pentax journey, and catch up on what was so awesome about using it today. And again, Happy New Year. I'm so glad to be back for a new podcast in 2024. And yes, I do have a hot mug of tea to help it all get started. All right, a bit of the backstory first. So yeah, Pentax 6.7, it's known by many different names. The Pentax 6x7, that's the original model, launched in 1969. Then there is the Pentax 6x7 MLU, otherwise known as the mirror lockup version. That came a bit later. That wasn't released until 76. And then there's really just a slightly cosmetic difference that was launched in 1990. It's still basically the Pentax MLU, only the label, you know, where it says Asahi Pentax, the prism has changed a little bit, and it just says Pentax 6.7 on the side. So it's some cosmetic changes. But it's not really a new camera until 1999. And then it launches the 6.7 II, which is something so completely different in so many ways. That's much, much more of an electronic camera. That really, to me, there's really just, in a way, two models. The 6.7 II and the original 6.7, whether it's mirror lockup or not. So it's been known as the beast. It's been known as the, you know, a 35 millimeter on steroids. And just to accent it, it has this lovely wooden handle, this lovely wooden grip on the left side, which no other camera quite has anything even beginning to look like that. So yeah, it's a whole package. You know, you'll hear this many, many times. If you're looking at this camera, what's the number one reason to get into the Pentax 6x7? It's that lens. It's the 105-24. All right, so that's just a little bit an overall picture about the 6.7. Looking through my emails right now, that I think where I was absolutely peaking with this combo was from 2017 to 2018. I was pretty much locked into a T-Max 100 gig, and back then I think I'm pretty sure I was using HC-110. I was shooting people I work with in this wonderful open shade area where people would step out for a 15-minute break. And I just knew the lighting there really, really well. I knew how to like position people really, really quickly. I wasn't exclusively shooting black and white. I remember shooting some pretty nice 160 rolls. And yeah, like I think I mentioned on a previous podcast, one of the reasons why this camera really edged out the RZ67 was just how quickly I could get it all done. It just, there was something about having like, I could just take it out of the bag, put it in my hand, you know, holding it by that grip, have the film already loaded, walk outside, use my light meter or just use my meter on my phone. Or I think actually, no, I'm sorry, back then my TTL meter was actually terrific. So I could get a meter reading right off the TTL prism. And it was like, boom, 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 focus, click, you know, and then click again and then readjust my framing a little bit, look at the lighting a little bit more, maybe ask the person to move a little bit and maybe take two more shots. And I was good. So I typically would take maybe 2 to 4 pictures of someone. And if I was lucky, I would get somebody else out there the same day on a different 15-minute break. And I was good. I had my 10 shots. Everything was rocking. So that's how my journey began. Basically, it kind of just evolved into, I love my 6.7, I love the 105, I sold the 200mm that I had no other need for another lens, I love the grip. I never liked loading the film in the camera, as simple as you would think that would be, because it's just, so, and theoretically, it should be more difficult than loading a 35mm. I always found that the actual cartridge, or plastic spool rather, for the 120 just was so tight getting it in for the first time. Like, it just seems absurd how, like, for some reason, just slipping the roll in on the left side would just waste sometimes full minutes before it finally locked in. Getting it to actually spool to the take-up part and getting that started, that was quite easy. That usually didn't present a problem. But yeah, that's where the RZ blows it away. Loading the film in the RZ is actually fun. There's nothing tricky about unloading or loading film in the RZ67. I've found with the various versions of the 6x7 Pentax that can slow you down, but whatever. So I was living the life. You know, I had a working Pentax 6x7 with a working meter. I had a perfectly good wooden grip. I had a perfectly functional 105, which never needed any CLA, and the camera didn't need any CLA, and then the camera did. So just to cut to the chase, yeah, everything was great until 2019. The camera went bad. I had to send it out for repair. It was very expensive. The repair only lasted 6 months because then another problem occurred. I went and bought another body. That didn't quite work out. I gave up on 6.7s, flipped to 6.45. That got boring. Tried another 6.7. That failed as well. And then I tried again. So if you live on the coast, the New Year's Day ritual of jumping into the cold water has really taken off. I suppose it's become exponentially more popular since, of course, the rise of social media apps. So I first went out and started photographing this exactly 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, when you went to the polar plunge, yeah, you saw a couple of cars on the beach, and that was about it. You know, they weren't stopping traffic. They weren't shutting down streets. It was limited to maybe 4 blocks. Like, for me, it was 2 blocks south of the Margate Pier and maybe 2 blocks north of the Margate Pier. And that was it. Really wasn't a huge turnout. It has now become so freaking popular that instead of it containing 4 blocks or centered around the pier, it starts all the way maybe 7 or 8 blocks further south and continues another 7 or 8 blocks further north. Like, it's amazing. It was like the most amount of people I'd seen on the beach, even compared to like July 4th. Like, it was astonishing the amount of turnout. Mostly locals, obviously a lot of people that I guess are here for the summer, they come down for this as well. Huge range of ages, people, little kids, people in their 80s, everybody with a dog, and no exaggeration, just cars and trucks completely lined up, forming essentially an enormous tailgating party. People had their tables full of booze lined up. They had barbecues lined up, and it was a lit atmosphere, as it were. And it was a perfect day for shooting, too, because it was just that slightly pearly overcast sky. It wasn't cold. It wasn't too warm either. It's in the like mid-40s with hardly any wind. So, yeah, it's just the best perfect as you're going to get. And what I want to specify, what made it so much more interesting for me was, number one, I'm imagining not so much just street photography. Like I don't necessarily want to see wide shots of lots and lots of people, although that would have been cool too, had I had, say, a 28 millimeter lens on an M mount. That could have been a whole thing today, because it was, people were so focused on what they were doing that they, and everybody was photographing this themselves, so that everybody had this very, very unguarded, you know, celebratory feel to it. But that's what was not what I was going for. What I was going for was the inspiration of the 3D pop of looking through the 105 Takumar. That is just irreplaceable. It is irreplaceable. It is not in any way a traveling feast, a movable feast, as Hemingway would say. You can't get this effect when you move that lens on a 6-4-5. So I'm looking through the lens that's completely uncluttered. It's a plain prism. It's the kind of sky that you can meter once and never have to meter again, because there's no shadows. It's a perfectly pearly overcast day. It's basically, you know, it's a F8 at 250 all the time kind of day. Maybe, you know, if I would, the sun would peek out just a tiny bit, and maybe I could have gone to, you know, F9. Like, it was such a, so that was beautiful too. And what really brought this home for me was the grip and the focusing guy there, you know? So just having the focusing ring and that wooden grip gave me the confidence to just keep the camera in my hand the entire hour. Now, just to recap, what am I doing with a medium format camera right now? I'm moving around a densely packed crowd who is drunk. These people are lit. There is an enormous amount of drunk people, drunk old people who don't give a flying fuck, drunk college students who want to show off, dogs of all kinds of varieties who are getting quite excited because this is so out of their norm, and waves, sand, you know, the elements. So it's like, gee, what could happen to my medium format camera had I been out there with the RZ67. If I had been out with the RZ67, it would have been a game of putting it in the bag, taking it out of the bag, putting it back in the bag, taking it out of the bag, putting it in the bag, taking it out of the bag. You know what I mean? I'm sure that's how I would have done it. I would have been staking my territory, taking it out of the bag, making sure no one's going to fall into me, because with that camera, yeah, no, you're not looking around you. You're looking down into the waist level. So you just have to assume that, you know, there isn't going to be an overexcited golden retriever about to catch, you know, his frisbee, and a surging crowd of drunk college students all heading your way, you know. Anyhow, none of that actually happened. But the beauty of having the 6.7 was holding that camera in the grip, you know, having my left hand just hold that camera. Sometimes I was cradling it. Most of the time I was just letting my hand fall by my side. I felt completely secure. Completely secure. Like, I just felt like I was ready for anything. Like, I had the ability to just move around comfortably, swinging that guy in my hand, holding it up, testing out the composition, maybe not, pulling it back down, looking around. And I just kept moving through the crowd and through the drunken people and through the overexcited, you know, golden retrievers and through the parts that were close to the crashing waves, and just felt completely relaxed. Never once put it back in my bag. And this was a densely packed crowd. Like I said, I've never seen this many people down the shore for this polar plunge thing. So it was terrific. It was absolutely terrific. And there were moments where I remember and people were moving around a lot. So there was moments where like, oh my God, that's a great composition. Oh my God, that composition's gone. You know what I mean? I could just see the framing being perfect. And by the time I even got the camera to my eye, they had moved. Someone had moved in the direction toward them. They had changed their posture. You know, it's a dance, you know, where you just got to get lucky. But there were these moments where I could visualize the 3D pop before I even took the picture, you know, and having that focusing aid, having that focusing ring made the ability to keep my hand locked on the left grip and still be able to adjust the focus and still have my right hand on the shutter, just waiting for that moment. And then you get that lovely 6-7 shutter. So yeah, I feel like I'm in love again for what this alternative to the RZ67 gives you, and really what this, to me, there are certain types of medium format photography where the 6-7 Pentax is the best. It's the best because I could not see, in a faster moving scene, something that's got a really dynamic range of composition, this guy's absolutely mind-blowingly great because you just lift it up, hold it to your eye, find that shot, click it, advance. There's no fiddling. There's no scenario where you're worried about the, basically there's no futzing around. There's no messing around with the bellows. There's no messing around with the dark slide. There's no messing around with, oh, I have to stay at 1/500th of a second. No, this guy can go up to 1/1000th of a second. You can just fire. You can advance that frame really, really quickly. And having that grip just gives you that feeling of confidence that this guy is it's a tank. And if it did, say, fall out of my hands and maybe banged into a rock, I bet you it'd still be working. You know, whereas the RZ, I'd be like, no. Anyhow, it's New Year's. It's the beginning of 2024. That's my take. I didn't plan on this becoming such a long, drawn-out history of my misadventure with the Pentax 6-7. I apologize if that went on a little bit too long, but I do want to say, cut to the chase, that, had a wonderful shoot today. I'm going to go scan some of those negatives right now, and I'm going to end with the looks and the results. Yeah, so I'm back. It's the last part of the episode. As I finished up the scans, I also went back through the episode and realized, no exaggeration, there was like 10 minutes of me just blathering on about how it all broke down in 2019 and how the CLA was good and then bad and then all this eBay idea to solve the problem and then that eBay idea. No. So I just cut it. And I feel like the episode's got a little bit more momentum. But yeah, got to review the photos and I'm pretty happy with them. You know, I think I was seeing more while I was there with my camera held up to my eye. And at least, I say at least 4 out of the 10 shots came close to what I was hoping for. It nailed the focus, nailed a little bit of the composition. But yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. And I absolutely, as I was saying earlier, I'm really understanding better now why this camera can balance out the waist level type medium format cameras. So in other words, if you're in love with the waist level camera because, you know, say you've got the Hasselblad or you're in love because you got the Rolleicord or Rolleiflex, you still might want to consider, if you've got, say, an extra $400 to $600 or $400 to $700, you may consider trying out the Pentax 6-7, especially with the grip and getting into that feeling of like, yeah, this is more of an adventure kind of medium format. This is not a fragile camera. This guy is rugged, you know, and it kind of brings to light in my head a little bit more about the people who obviously championed this guy, you know, back in the day. What was it? Lindbergh. Yeah, Peter Lindbergh was a huge fan of the 6.7. And I think the Mark Seliger dude as well from Rolling Stone. There were a lot of the fashion photographers, especially. And you could kind of see, especially Lindbergh's idea. His idea was like, you know, one of his most classic shoots was rolling down the beach with his friends, the supermodels, and with no makeup and no artifice, and just capturing their expressions and their natural reactions without any preconceived concept, just simply Tri-X and him with the classic 90 or the classic 105. But anyhow, yeah, that's my New Year's Day stuff, and hope to come at you with some more episodes. Thanks again for tuning in, and hope you enjoy. Have a good one.